Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Life in the Fast Lane. It is your beautiful CTO sitting here.
Oh, my God.
I took Nick off track.
Oh, my God. Where's the fairy dust?
Beautiful.
As you guys can hear in the background, we have Mr. Tom. We also have Mr. Nick.
What's up?
How are we all doing today?
I'm good,
Tom.
Good
morning, everybody.
How are you, buddy?
Yes, sir. I'm doing very good. Doing very good. The weather's beautiful outside. We're down here in Florida, so can't complain.
I'm about to go take a flight to Florida.
Show off.
80 degrees today. Yeah, life is good.
Yeah, we got 56 and cloudy. So and rain.
And rain. And that. It's dreary as it could be here in Maryland. It is awful.
We'll jump on that plane. Come on down.
I'll tell you what. If we didn't have so many mulch mates selling, I'd be there. But we got shit to do. It's been ridiculous. So, Tom, really appreciate you joining. Yeah.
Just for everybody, thanks for having me. Thank
yeah,
you.
Absolutely. So, everybody that's listening, Tom owns a company named Oxford Lawn down in Florida, and he's been a MulchMate customer for many years now. We've done a bunch of stuff together here recently, and it's been fantastic. And we really appreciate you. So, for the listening audience, Tom, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, kind of your background. How'd you end up in the you know, green industry? You know, just a real quick, brief, you know, 2 minute overview.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I ended up in the green industry by default, basically. I changed my life several times. I've recreated my career a few times. Let's see. Born and raised up in New Jersey, so I'm from up north. Had a career as an auto repair mechanic. We owned an auto repair shop for like 12, 13 years, something like that. In between, then we sold that, but I've also been a truck driver, auto mechanic. I've done so many things, it's crazy.
And kind of see why you and Nick get along.
Yeah. But so I kind of got burned out on the auto repair industry. That was the last thing we did before we moved down here to Florida. Life was getting a little crazy. The shop was getting, the industry changed. So, I mean, the deciding factor was we just saw all the cars getting forced to go back to the dealerships. Being an independent shop, it's just very hard to make it anymore. The cost of the equipment, the cost of the tools, the scanners, everything else. So long story short, the profit margins weren't what they used to be. So we just decided to make a change. My wife, Tracy, she had family down here in Florida. I had some family down here in Florida. And we came down here on vacation just to take a little break. Saw the potential down here. We moved to an area in central Florida. It's called The Villages. We're very close to a giant retirement community. It's called The Villages. So after that trip, we started talking about making the move because it was time. And then we did some research into the area. You know, we made sure we were going to be able to make a living down here. We've heard a lot of horror stories about people moving to Florida, can't make it, but they can't afford to move back up north and all of those stuff. So we wanted to make sure we had all our ducks in a row. And so, moved down to Florida. I had a job lined up when we came down here. And unfortunately, we moved down here in 2008 when the economy was taking a big old cracker.
That was a little rough.
This job... Yeah. So my wife had a job lined up. She was a hairdresser, so she was all set. But me, my plans changed, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, because it turned out to be better in the long run. So it's one of those hidden blessings. But just sitting around, like, trying to figure out what I was going to do because the job I had lined up had a hiring freeze, so I couldn't get hired, basically. So there I was, unemployed. But just listening to people in the know, in the area, and knew what was going on. We made some really good contacts, fortunately. And they said anything in the service industry down here in the retirement community areas, any kind of service that you get into, you'll do well if you run the business properly. And I knew how to run the business, so that was the easy part. So watching to see what was going on, starting to realize that the grass grows 12 months out of the year, never stops. So you've always heard about the best businesses to get into are something that is a constant repeat customer. So talked to a couple people about lawn mowing down this area. I can keep on going. There's a long story about how I met the gentleman that I bought the business from. Want me to keep on going in that direction?
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, yeah. Purchasing a business from somebody is like a mythical unicorn thing.
Yeah.
A lot of guys just are scared of.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll run away with this conversation, so you just tell me when to stop.
That's a podcast. Let it rip.
So what had happened, like, we moved down to Florida. Our house was not ready. They told us our house, we'll just say June 30th, whatever it was. We're like, okay, we're on the way. We sold our house real fast. We packed up the moving trucks and all that stuff. Like, well, your house isn't ready, so we don't have a home. We're homeless. But fortunately, my mother lived within the villages, and so we just were fortunate enough to be able to stay at her place for almost a month while our house was being completed. And at that time, at my mom's house, we were out on the front yard. I was just tossing a football back and forth with my son. And a gentleman rolled up into the cul-de-sac with his lawn mowing equipment and started mowing the yards on that little cul-de-sac. And he just looked like a very approachable person. So I also know that people are usually willing to talk about their business if you show a real interest in the same aspects, kind of thing. So when he was all done, I walked over to him. I introduced myself, said hello, and we just started talking. I was explaining to him my situation about just moving into the area, trying to figure out what direction I wanted to move. The direction I thought I was going to go in didn't work out. And he was just an awesome guy. He just sat there and talked to me for like an hour, maybe 2 hours. And then I asked, because I didn't really know much about the business or the industry or how it worked or anything, because I wasn't doing anything, I was getting kind of bored. I asked him if it was okay if I could ride along with him for the next couple of days and see what it's all about. I offered up my free help. I said, I'll help you out as much as I can. I don't know how good I am at this or not. And he was just like, yeah, come on, let's go for a ride. So the next day he picked me right up at my mother's house, and I worked with him for a while. And what turned out was he was an elderly gentleman, like not a 20-year-old, he's probably in his 50s.
Yeah.
And he was trying to set up the business for his son because he recognized the potential. So he was trying to build this business for his son. He already had a full-time job. He was a geologist. He was all set. He was really good to go. But it turned out his son wanted nothing to do with the labor aspect of the business. He's more interested in playing his video games and not being out on the outside world, getting dirty and sweaty. So we worked out a deal. He's like, well, I was building this business for my son. He doesn't really want it. I would not be opposed to selling it to you if you wanted to take it over. So we just worked out a deal that way. It all just turned out by chance. That's how this whole Oscar Long thing started. I just walking up with some random guy, working in the street that I had to live on for a month while our house was being done. And the guy was awesome. He gave me a year to pay it off. I just bought up, he only had like 25 or 30 accounts at that point in time. So I just bought up his accounts, his trailer. Everything that was on that trailer ended up in my garage, and we just kept it and took it from there. Nice. That's my story. That's how we got into Oxford Long.
Wow. Think about that. Like, 20 years prior to that, that wasn't even on the radar.
Yeah.
Talk about a life change. Holy cow.
Oh, God.
Man,
yeah.
Life will take you in some crazy directions if you let it. My goodness.
Yeah, that was 16 years ago that happened.
So
we decided to pick a 180 in our life and just start all over again.
That's cool. I mean, it's always, refreshing to be able to hit that reset button. I mean, Tom, looking back at it, was it definitely something you look back upon and you go, man, I'm really glad that happened? Or do you look back and you go, really don't care? Or, I wish I could have gone in X direction. How does that make you feel?
No, I'm really glad it happened. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of disappointed the job that I had lined up. At that time, I was 40. And I was like, okay, I got 25 more years of work I can dedicate into a company. And I had lined up with a pretty good company. But I figured about retirement and pensions and all that other stuff. But honestly, just working out better, working for ourselves out here, all around financially, lifestyle. It just worked out better. So to answer your question, I'm very happy that it worked out the way it did.
Good.
And not the intention that we had when we moved down here.
That's awesome. And for everybody that's listening, if you want to see more, of Tom and what he does, just go to Instagram. He's a Instagram whiz.
He's all over it.
All over Instagram. Oxford is it's at Oxford Lawn, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. OX.
If you just type Oscar Vaughn in the search bar, it'll come up. There's okay. only one of us out there.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. I mean, it's a great, great entertaining, you know, Instagram. You're always showing all kinds of very satisfying situations. So I always stop and just watch.
Yeah.
I love making videos. That's just my little joy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got one life to live. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, what I do is, like, when we're out there working and getting hot and sweating and getting miserable sometimes, and I come home, my unwind time is just to sit in that big fat recliner that we have out there in the living room and just put together a video, because it's just downtime. I like watching, or not watching, but searching for the right song for the videos. Just that's my downtime. That's how I unwind at the end of the day, and making some videos. That's my pleasure.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's a lot of other things that could get you in trouble. That's definitely not one of them. I can tell you this. There have been points in my life where, as the consumer of content, you know, someone like yourself, you don't realize, but there's probably people out there watching you that, you know, are going through a hard point, you know, hard point in time in their life. And just to see you doing what you do, you never know. That may help somebody massively, you know, out there somewhere. So keep it up. It's great. It's great that you're doing it.
I enjoy it.
I can tell you, I get it a lot. People are like, man, I'm right now, as we're talking, I got somebody texting me and they're like, dude, I'm up to episode 20 in your podcast. It's amazing. I love it. I've been listening to it all morning. My kids are listening with me now. And I'm like, that's just crazy to me that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I was just a landscaper. And now, you know, people hear what we have to say and it helps them. And that's incredible. So, kudos to you for keeping up with the social media stuff and doing it for a good cause and not doing it for the attention, but just doing it for the love and passion of it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's a lot of work.
No,
as you know, it's a lot of work.
It's a shit ton.
A little burned out on it.
Oh yeah.
There's a couple of years ago, I just disappeared for a year. I got so burned out on social media. We were part of the team. I know. I think we talked about that, but it became a job, and it's like, no, this is what I was doing it for. And I actually, and then, you know, sometimes you get burned out by the comments, the negative, the haters out there.
Yeah.
And I disappeared off of social media for about a full year.
Wow.
And then, came back strong. Well, now I'm just doing it for ourselves.
Yeah. You must love it, because you're doing it again. If you're loving it, that's
like
great.
I like making the videos. So I'm not running it as a business this time. I'm running it for my enjoyment.
Good. Good.
And, it's cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, if you don't mind, let's segue into, I want to know, before you ever met us, I'm not me, not Kyle, just the team here at Dawson Manufacturing. You know, you're out there. You know, I know you had a turf side of your company where you're maintaining turf, and then you segued over into this top dressing market, which is just freaking exploding. You know, tell us about how you stumbled across that, and then, you know, you finally one day decide, okay, this is a moneymaker. How do we do it better? You know, tell us that story.
Oh boy, well, sorry, funny part. We talked about the business exploding. Before you called, I was on my computer looking at all the job tickets that we have lined up from last year that we had to do second applications, and I'm scrolling through, and I'm like, oh my god, where the hell am I going to put all this work? So, yeah, the business has absolutely exploded.
Great.
So your question was, how did I get into this top dressing aspect? I already lost track of your question.
Yeah, no, just you know, you stumbled across this guy's company that you ultimately buy and take over all the accounts. You're cutting grass, and then one day you're like, hey, I could sprinkle dirt in people's yards and they pay me a bunch of money for it. Top dressing, you know, like really that's what it is. And it really does. And it's very effective. Like the command compost, like you stumble across that. How do you just haphazardly come across that?
Oh, I saw a need for it. All the new construction, don't mind my stomach. There's so many things I want to say.
That's good. Keep it roll.
Because I saw a need for the services. What had happened was, where we are, it's all new construction. The area that we service is new construction. So when they build these houses, they just take these massive bulldozers and they take these massive dump trucks, because Florida, being sand and clay underneath that sand, it's not a good buildable space. So they strip basically strip mine the whole top layer off of the neighborhood that they're working on at that point in time. Clear it out, take it to an area, they mix that sand, now they take a big clay pile and they mix that sand pile, they mix it with the clay pile, then they truck it all back in, compact the crap out of it, and then now they have a good buildable base. But the problem with that buildable base is there's no topsoil structure in there. You know, a lot of neighborhoods have been established for 25, 50, 100 years from up north, so the older neighborhoods, they have a really good topsoil layer. What we're dealing with down here is basically sterile sand and clay. There's no topsoil, no organic material mixed in there. When they build a house on top of the grade, then they build a road structure, or do the opposite, but they do the road structure, then they build a house. But they don't fix the soil where they're putting the sod. They just lay that sod right on top of that compacted sand and clay. And it'll last for a couple of years because there's a little bit of good dirt that came in with that layer of sod. But 2 or 3 years down the road, that dirt's all gone. The nutrients are depleted out of it. It's washed away from hurricanes and crazy storms that we have. And then the yards just fall apart. And through some research and talking to some people in the fertilizing business that we talked to, you know, the gentleman, Mark Singleton, he's from the University of Florida, just networking with a lot of people and learning what needs to get done to fix the problem. The problem is not the fertilizing companies that are not doing the right job. The problem is all about the bad soil that's underneath that layer of sod. So just recognize that problem. That we did just did a hundred, I'm an incessant researcher online. I'll talk to millions of people. I'll call everybody I need to call to learn and figure out the best way to fix the problem. And that's what we did. And then, so we figured out how to fix the problem. Then we, like what it needs. But then we had to figure out what it takes to get it done efficiently. And that's where you guys rolled in.
That's awesome. I mean, way yeah. to solve a problem.
Yeah. I like the way that you went. It's a problem. We need to find the solution. Then you create the solution. And then you're like, well, hey, we can monetize it now and then make it so that it's one, not only helping you, but it's also helping everybody else. Because when you come home at the end of the day, a lot of people, all that you just want is a nice green, fresh piece of grass in front of you,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. and it's nice to just sit out there, have your coffee and look at your grass sometimes. And, you know, and if you could, and I know Florida, I mean, I was actually down there a couple weeks ago and yeah, I mean, they're mowing all year long, you know, and you can see in certain areas, it is just sand. So being able to get that extra nutrients back down definitely helps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all new construction. They don't do anything with the soil to fix the soil. That would cost money, so it just takes it off their profit margin, I guess.
Exactly.
They just do that up to the homeowner, and then the homeowner doesn't realize there's a problem coming their way because it takes a couple of years to happen.
Exactly.
And then it's good for us. I mean, great. They're making a ton of work for us to do. Yeah, I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah.
But, so we just saw the problem. Like I said, we figured out what had to get done to fix it. Like you mentioned earlier, Command Compost, specifically designed for lawn rejuvenation work. That's all it's meant for. Golf course, I mean, the nation wants it, and we're stupid lucky. It's made right here in our backyard, and that's how much of a great scenario that we have set up here.
That's awesome. I do have one quick question. When it comes to – oh, crap, I had it and lost it. It was one of those things where you're like, it's right there. And they're like, come back. So give me 1 second. I'll come back to that
one. Well, I have a question. So did you start, you may have already said this in my thinking. I may have missed it. Did you start off using Command?
Yes.
That was day one.
We did. Day one. There's other products around and homeowners will use it, but it doesn't work. So I had already known that this other option that's around, it's a well-known brand, but it's manure-based, and it doesn't work. So we have to figure out what it takes to fix lawns. The problem with the manure-based compost is that it has weed seeds in it, and it also has herbicides, residual herbicides left in it, potentially. And that's not really good for trying to recover a lawn. Most of those Command, most of those cow manure based or any kind of manure-based compost is great for a garden. It even says on the bag, good for gardens, good for vegetable gardens, good for planting and potting soil and all that stuff. But never, ever will it say, I should say never, ever. I don't believe it ever says for lawn use.
Yeah, you've never seen it.
No, I've never seen it on a bag. And there's a few that we looked at, and just doing an assessment amount of research. Another good aspect, and there's a program here in Florida, the Master Gardeners Program. I'm sure it's in other states as well. But my wife Tracy is part of that Master Gardeners Program, and Command works with the Master Gardeners. They do some talks and supply them with some product, and that's how we found out about that. And then talking to the people of Command and trying to just explain what we're trying to achieve, they're like, oh, hell yeah, we got this product over here that we mix and blend it specifically for lawn rehab work. And they have other products as well, but they specifically blend their products for whatever application is going into. So they have a garden product, you know, they have a vegetable garden product, but they also have one that's just specifically blended for lawn rehab and it has no bad stuff in it. It's strictly for lawns. They don't create other problems.
Right.
There's my answer.
Interesting.
Cool. I was able to remember my question as we were talking. Just out of curiosity, I know Florida and I know in our area we have like blackout dates. Are you able to use that material during that time, or is that something you have to kind of? So you are. Yeah. You're able to do this like a year round thing without having to worry about the blackouts.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool.
The blackout dates are for the chemical fertilizers. And that's just county by county. Some counties do it, some counties don't. But this product, this is an all natural organic material. There's no chemicals. The chemicals, like the nitrogens and the phosphorus, are all natural. When a decomposing material, that stuff gets created, that's where it's coming from. It's not like a liquid chemical application of that stuff. So it is allowed to be used all year round.
Okay, cool. I hate that I forgot that, but it was cool that I remembered it now. So we're good.
Yeah.
We're all good.
I think the blackout thing is the blackout thing is going to be a major problem for the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question because there are companies, and we're not one of them. We're all about soil amending. We're just fixing the soil. We're not trying to be a fertilizer company. We do one or two applications depending on how bad the yard is. Usually it's two applications that we do, and then we turn it over to the fertilizer company and let them take it from there.
Yeah.
But there are companies, even down in this area here, that are starting to use the top dressing aspect as a fertilizer program. And a lot of it is based off of what you just said about those blackout dates. They don't have to worry about it anymore. They'll do a chemical application in the spring, then they'll do a compost application of Command in the summertime, and then they'll do another application in the fall. So they don't have to worry about not being able to take care of the lawn properly in those blackout dates. So that's becoming a big issue down here as well. A benefit, actually, of the Command and top dressing in general.
That's awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, okay, you've gotten this top dressing business thing rocking and rolling, and now you're looking at, shoveling practically dirt all day long really sucks. How do you find MulchMate? Tell the audience how that came to be for you.
Well, because like you just said, shoveling that compost out of the back of a dump trailer absolutely sucked. Imagine being down in Florida in a black dump trailer, 100 degrees outside, trailers parked in the street so there's no shade, and you're shoveling 10 yards of compost out of a trailer into a top dressing machine, walking the top dressing machine all around the property or riding, whichever one you're using. That's the point. But it sucked. It absolutely was horrible. We were dying out there. But we had to do it we try to run the business smartly. So we're doing our proof of concept, make sure everything worked before we made the investment into other avenues, which we're going to get to. So we did a proof of concept out of this dump trailer, a black dump trailer. It absolutely sucked, but we did it for about 6 months until we just could not do it anymore. It burned us out, but we realized that the business was viable and the results were unbelievable. And that's what happened. And I'm like, a little side note. The reason that I think the reason the business has taken off is because the results are so good. Once you do a property on the street and the neighbors see the results, they're calling you. And then the next neighbor's calling you. The next neighbor calling you. Then people across the street. Then the people on the street behind, because the house is back up, they're seeing the backyard is better than my backyard. So they want an equally good backyard. So it's just, once we're in a neighborhood, we're usually in that neighborhood for a long time. So we did the proof of concept out of a dump trailer. The labor aspect of it was just mind-boggling stupid. I can't say it any other way.
Right.
But, so yeah, we had to figure out a better way. We had to figure out a more efficient way. I didn't even know that you guys existed. Again, as I said earlier, I'm an incessant researcher. When there's something that I need to figure out and a problem to fix and figure out how to do it better, whatever we're trying to do, if we want to do it better, I'll just days and days and days behind the computer all night long. I don't sleep well at night anyway, so I'm on the computer half the time researching. And I found you guys on YouTube. So I was watching videos of people. I don't even know what I was watching, to be honest with you. I don't want to go off in the wrong direction again. I don't even know. I just found you guys on YouTube. I saw you had this mulchmate thing at that point in time. I had no idea what the hell it was. I ended up calling you. I think I actually talked to you, Nick, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And I was like, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. And you had just come out with that DMT trailer not too much earlier from us calling. And you're like, oh, hell yeah, dude, I got this thing. I got exactly what you need. I remember the conversation. It was funny. You know, your enthusiasm came out, and I'm like, oh, this is the guy. and then you, I truly believe that you are the one that even turned us on to the Eco Lawn Top Spreaders. I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm starting here.
No, you're fine.
My mind is like a washing machine going on.
No, you got a lot of things that you've done, so it's cool.
Yeah. Dude, I could talk to you for 3 hours about all this stuff. There's so much that I can share.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to condense it in my mind before it comes out of my mouth.
That's okay.
So we did the proof of concept out of the dump trailer. That was just stupid, labor-intensive. Took way too long. We knew there had to be better ways of doing this. I did my incessant research online. Found you guys on YouTube. Called your company. Pretty sure it was you that I talked to, so I remember the enthusiasm of the conversation, and you telling me about how the trailer goes up and you can fit the top dressing machine underneath it. And that's how we got all hooked up with you guys. That's the answer to the question. That was our turning moment. When we talked to you, found you on YouTube, you sent me some video links, and I watched the video links about the DMT trailer, because telling me about the volume of compost that we're going through. I mean, a lot of companies will do this stuff and put a very light top dressing on it. Mm-hmm. But we're putting a lot down. We're trying to fix the soil. We're trying to put so much down there that we're aerating it and raking it and mixing it into the soil to amend the soil.
Right.
So we're going through a high volume of compost per property. And that's why we needed to have a better solution.
Right.
One that was less labor intensive, to be honest with you. Because couldn't do it out of that trail anymore. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. So, I don't, no offense, I don't remember the conversation because I have a lot of those. No offense. It's like copy, repeat. I say the same thing over and over it's getting to the point now where it's thousands of people. Kyle has his finger up in the air because he wants to say something.
I actually have a question for you, Nick, because he was saying about how we had the DMT, and I don't remember the full order of how things came out, but when the DMT was created, did you initially have the top dressing hydraulic?
Yes. So here's how that went. I had a guy named Joe call me and said, I love your machine, but I need a platform in the front to put a top dresser on it.
Okay. So, okay. Now this is making, because I don't remember it being an option in the beginning, but that's just because I wasn't a full part of everything then. I just remember the trailer, platform.
Well, here, listen to this. This is crazy how this goes. So I spent all 2020 developing this trailer. And with Belmont, it's not all me. Those boys need a lot of credit, like a lot of credit. Belmont has been an unbelievable cornerstone to our business as far as getting these trailers out the door. And we had spent all that time doing it, and this guy Joe was kind of like the pioneer with me to help me get it going. He paid for a lot of the R&D. You know, ultimately, it all worked out, and it was good to go. But basically, he handed me, I want to say it was like $15,000. And that was all the money I needed to get the trailer up and going, because Belmont builds trailers all the time.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, we're in the middle heart of COVID. Sales are not what they should be because of COVID. I didn't have the extra expendable money to be able to pioneer something new of this magnitude.
Now look at it.
Yeah, now it's ridiculous. It's literally I'm working on a new DMT. It's more, I guess, more refined, just things we've learned over the years, wants, needs, you know, whatever. And I go to Belmont, and they're just like, yeah, we'll do it. And they don't ask for any money or anything. They just go, yep, we'll do it, because they know I'll sell it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of faith and trust in a good relationship there. But so we get this trailer built, and we release it in October of 2020. And the gentleman, Joe, you know, comes to me, and he's like, well, hey, dude, like, this trailer, it needs to, like, lift up in the air, or we need, like, an extension conveyor like we have now. Now we have both.
Yeah, I remember today. The extension conveyor. I just don't remember the...
And he was like, look, the extension conveyor is great and all, but I don't want to have to pull it out and do all this and that. I just want to be able to hit a button and lift it up. And I'm like, yes, because I'm the one that came up with that idea. He just basically directed me. He goes, I'd rather push a button than have to pull an extension conveyor out and lift it up and do all this kind of mumbo jumbo, which they both have their place. So the trailer gets delivered to me literally at 11 o'clock at night by Belmont, by their head engineer, Jonathan, the night before we release the trailer. Like, this is at my house. It is dark, and I am excited. I can't tell you the excitement I had. So the next morning, we get up. We put on this trade show. You can look this up on YouTube. You could see the unveil of it. There's a bunch of YouTubers here and all this, you know, that's documented. And so after the show, I'm sitting there talking to Joe, and Joe's like, I really want that lift kit. I'm like, okay. So we then take the trailer back to Belmont. They cut the axles out from underneath of it and redo the whole damn thing. The whole trailer gets cut up in the whole subframe lifting mechanism and all that they created and we created, then gets welded into place and redone, and we upgrade axles and we do this and we do that. And that was how that came to be. And the way we tested it, we put in, was it 5 or 6 Mafia blocks in the trailer? Massive Mafia blocks, because we had to make sure the valving and all that could handle it, and there was a proper amount of oil volume and things like that,
yeah.
So everything could operate. So that's how that came to be.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Tom, you you're the first white Oxford white.
It's so freaking slick.
It's so beautiful. My goodness, it is. I had a guy here yesterday, Tom, and his company, his logo is like mostly red, which I love. It's not green. In the landscape industry, I want to change it up. Everybody does green. No offense. But I love the white, and I pushed him so hard on the Oxford white, you know, trailer edition, and he just wouldn't do it.
Is he going black?
Yeah. Well, he had two Hispanic guys with him, and his like two main guys or something like that. One was name was Lee, and the other guy's name, I can't remember what his name was. But they just kept saying, no, Mr. Corey, no, Negro, black man, no. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, white would look so good with your red lettering. And he just wouldn't do it. So he's actually bringing a check today. He gave me his credit card yesterday for his mulch. He's bringing me a check for the trailer today. And I'm going to push him one more time. I'm going to be like, do you sure? Because white would be better.
I'll be like, white, just like passing by.
Yeah, like, do white. So you are the pioneer of the white trailer. And you know what? I'm going to, in a funny, jokingly way, I'm pissed at you, Tom, because I didn't think of that.
What?
I didn't think of painting it white. I never once considered.
It's your own damn color scheme.
I know. I never even thought of it. And when you did it, I didn't. So when you ordered it, you didn't deal with me. You and I must have had like the initial conversation, but you dealt with Brian, our VP of sales, and
yeah.
He's the one that, you know, finally specced everything out for you, and he knew it was white, and my team processed the orders, and Belmont knew it was white, but I don't see any of that. I don't pay attention to any of that. That's not my job, and I never knew it was coming. And then next thing I know, I want to say you posted something about it on like a story or something, like, oh, here's our new trailer or something. And I like shit myself because I had no clue it was white. And I'm like, damn, that bitch looks good. So
I just like to separate ourselves out from the regular dump trailers that are running all over the place. I don't want to be grouped into that garbage hauling, dump trailer rental situation. That's the only reason I chose white. And our trucks were white. Now, all our trailers and trucks were white at the time. That's the only reason I went with white. But yeah, it's freaking awesome. I love the look of it.
It's a good move. It's a good move.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really good. So we've had white, yellow, red, purple, green, like a lime green and a forest green. I'm trying to think of what other colors we've had. I don't know if I said white, but of course white is what we're talking about. I want to see an orange one. I have not seen a bright, like mulch mate burnt orange color yet. That's something I'm surprised nobody's done. But in the landscape industry, I don't think orange is that prevalent of a color. But
it
should be. It should be. I don't know. So, okay.
That'd be a good color, that burnt orange. That'd be really cool.
Heck yeah. And I agree with you, Tom. Like, standing out, like, the trailer is such a statement thing. You know, like, okay, for instance, and I'm not putting this other product down whatsoever. Matter of fact, I'm giving it some kudos. Your new B-Wise trailer. Really nice. Yeah. Really nice trailer. Does a totally different job. I am a fan of the B-Wise trailers. I have friends that I have, you know, advised, hey, for you, it's a B-Wise.
Doesn't Huber have a B-Wise?
I think Huber does. I know, Oasis has or had one. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah.
They're good trailers. Like, I have nothing against them at all. But when you sit them side by side, Tom, please be honest. Which one stands out?
The Belmont trailer, the DMT trailer, is by far the best built trailer I have ever seen.
Isn't it amazing?
Hands down.
So, okay. So let's jump into that, right? So you take delivery of your trailer. And you've never, I don't think you'd ever seen one in person until you had yours delivered, right?
No, I never saw one.
So, you know, tell us about your reaction. You know, you get it. You see the quality of it. You see how it's been designed. What's the feeling?
I remember my feeling was, holy shit, that's a big-ass trailer. That was my first feeling.
I think that was mine, too.
We had it delivered. No, it went on to that trailer went on to another trailer. You guys delivered it down here to Florida. And we had it dropped off at our repair shop that we use because they're a big, heavy truck recovery place. They had these massive dump tow trucks. So we didn't know what was going to be needed. They had a giant yard they could just drop the trailer in if they needed to use the tow truck. So I had it all set up in case they had to just pick it up off the trailer. No, I want to cover all bases. So anyway, it was sitting in this yard. There's a fence all around the yard because it's an impound yard and stuff. So we pulled in the gate, and the trailer was sitting right there in the middle of the yard, like this big old, moment.
Where's the halo? And,
yeah, exactly. Like, the glow was around it. And it was white. I mean, it looks awesome. It really does. But, my God, that thing is massive. That trailer is big, built like a tank. We're walking around that trailer, and I was in awe. Like, oh, my God, look at this thing. You know, I had never seen, we always buy these cheap, I'm going to call them cheap, economical dump trailers. They use C-channel. The frame rails, I'm getting to the frame rails. That was my first, my God moment. This thing is massive. The frame rails, you can tell me what inches they are on that thing. The I-beam frame rail goes all the way down.
They're 10 inch double stacked.
That thing is, I can't say the word. It's freaking massive. That's all I can say. I've never seen a trailer built with those. We always had the trailers that use the C-channel, the big cheap stuff. And yeah, the oh my God moment was real. And then the more we walked around this thing, then we saw the bracketry on the back where the drop-down suspension is and all the hydraulic cylinders are there and the massive place inside there to support all that stuff. It's an impressive ass trail. I can say.
Yeah, I have a saying. I have a saying around here is I like to sleep at night.
Like to, but doesn't.
Yeah. I'm always designing the next thing. Good Lord, you should see what I'm working on now. Holy cow!
It draws attention, and that's also its own selling point in itself too. It's when we're on a property. And I start pushing it's a unique trailer. So when people see that unique trailer rolling into the neighborhood and pulls in front of somebody's house, everybody's watching. You know, the neighbors, they're all retired. They're all home anyway. So like, oh, what's going on outside at Don's house over here? then we start pushing the buttons and all the hydraulics start working, and we're taking the equipment off of the ramps. You know, nobody has ever seen a ramp set up like you guys have on the front of a trailer. It's just, it's an attention grabber. Then they come over and they start talking. And they're, what are you doing over here? What the hell is this thing? And then I keep on pushing the buttons. And they're like, oh, check this out. Watch this. And like, oh my goodness. It sells work. Like, oh, I want that in front of my house. If she's having it, I got to have it. You know, the whole keeping up with the Joneses thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I'm just saying, like, even the trailer and the impressiveness of it when it's rolling down the street, pulling from somebody's yard, it draws attention for sure.
I will say there is a bit of a mulch mate effect too. This is like, I've noticed with a couple of my clients when I pull up with the demo truck, they're like, what is that? And then you kind of like show them and do this walk around thing. And then the neighbors ask, there is a bit of a effect with it, is people just seeing the big white box and it just pukes out.
Yeah.
Whether it's mulch, dirt, mud, whatever. It just takes it.
It's a vending machine.
It is. It's a vending machine of all of Earth's natural amenities, mm-hmm. whatever you say.
So Tom, you show up, you see it, it's in the middle of this yard, it's glowing like a little angel. Yeah. You do a 360 of it, and you're just, your jaw's dropped, and you're like, man, this, yeah. you know, yeah. the materials used, the thought, all that, right? So then the next step is you actually get to use it, right? You tow it, right? So how does it tow? You know, and then you do finally fill it up with some compost and you press the joystick and something happens. You know, tell me how that feels.
It felt amazing. The towing the trailer, it handles the weight. That was honestly a little bit concerning because I've never seen a geometry like that with the platform on the front, the box in the back, and then that heavy multi-meat unit hanging off the back of that. But y'all obviously figured out what you're doing with the axles, and the axles are placed perfectly. So it tows like a dream. Even with that thing loaded, and you've seen us, I know you've seen our videos.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope DOT isn't listening because we overload the crap out of that trailer sometimes. When compost gets a little damp, it gets a little wet, it gets really heavy.
Yeah.
And we're still loading the snot out of that trailer all the way to the top, pushing it down with the... I shouldn't be telling you this. We're taking the skid steer and smashing it down in there.
Oh, yeah.
We're loading the hell out of that trailer, and it handles it. I know we're overweight sometimes, and it just handles it. It handles it great. But that's amazing. But the most impressive part, I remember when the first time we used it on a job, we're all awkward. We're acting stupid because it's new. We don't know how to use this thing, you know. I was all excited to use the hydraulics, so I put all the hydraulics up, and I realized that the equipment was still on the ramp on the front, and you can't get it off when the thing's all jacked up. So we go, okay, we have to lower it back down. Then we have to take the equipment off. So there was a learning curve to it, but using that for the first time, spreading out the compost and just pushing down that little toggle button. When we were done with that property, we knew we had made the right decision. You know, Trace and I were there working together. And you never know if your investment was the right one until you use it for a little while. And I'll tell you, after that first property was done and we were not as tired, we weren't tired at all. Like we would be with shoveling, we knew that we had made the right decision. We were so, so thankful we made that investment.
Was it hot? Was it hot the first day you used it? Was it midsummer?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah, we ordered it in springtime. There's a 2 month backup on it at the point in time.
Yeah. There was a point in time where we were like 12 weeks out.
Yeah, we waited 2 months for ours.
Yeah.
So we kept on. We wanted it in the springtime, but we waited too long to order it. It was our fault. We were just kind of nervous about it. We didn't. It's an investment. But yeah, so we ordered it in the springtime. Then unfortunately, we had to keep on shoveling the crap out of the back of the dump trailer for a couple more months into the heat. So that aspect of it showing up in the mid hot time of year when we're dying, like, where's this trailer? Come on, this is a goddamn trailer. We spent money on this trailer and it showed up. And then we got to use it. Like, one day we're sweating our butts off shoveling. The next day we're just pushing that toggle button down and it's just being released into the top pressing machine all by itself. That was an even better experience than if we got it in the springtime. Mm-hmm. You know, because we experienced the worst time of year to be doing the work was shoveling out of a dump trailer. And then at the worst time of the year, your trailer showed up and we were able to go roll right into it. From one day we're shoveling to one day we're pushing the buttons. And it was the best time for that to ever happen because we had a compounded happiness effect from that.
Right. Right. That's incredible. I mean, so as you know, Tom, and I'm sure you've read, a lot of people say some really dumb shit about MulchMate online. And what would you tell somebody that's never used a MulchMate? You know, what would be your rebuttal to someone that says it's dumb, it's a bad idea? As a matter of fact, I was just actually this morning I saw somebody, I can't remember his name, but his Instagram handle is, what is it? It's Myrtler? What is that? What it is, Kyle? Myrtler?
Couldn't tell you.
Hang on. I'm trying to pull it up.
I didn't see it this morning.
Dang it. My phone's not working. Hang on. Watch this. I just saw it in my stories. His name is... My phone is not working at all.
A lot of people just like to bash what they don't understand. And I hate that because they're talking stuff about... They're talking crap about something they have no idea. They probably never even top dressed a yard, or they probably never even mulched the heck out of a big property where you need efficiency.
Yeah, okay, here it is. Here it is. Mulder? Mulder?
Yeah, Mulder.
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 So he did a podcast like a year or two ago, and a freaking shit ton of people sent it to me, and he was talking shit about how he thinks MulchMate is dumb. And I'm like, really? Why have that opinion when you never even used one? And
yeah.
I'm looking at his Instagram handle this, or his Instagram page this morning, and there's a video he has of a semi unloading mulch, which is totally normal. And then he takes what I would call a mini skid. I'm pretty sure that's what they are. People call them dingoes, whatever. But it's an expensive piece of equipment, right? He's on asphalt. He's got room, I guess, to dump it. And then he's got one of these like muck buggy concrete looking things that are slower than dogs. Here it is. Look. So he's got an excavator, he's got a mini skid, and he's got one of these like little tracked bucket looking things. And he's dumping mulch on the ground, and then he takes and scoops up with a mini skid, and then he plops it over into this little buggy thing. I think it's a Toro or something. And none of this equipment's bad.
Yeah.
It's how it's being used, in my opinion, is super inefficient. And between those two pieces of equipment, probably cost as much as a whole DMT rig.
Or two.
And they've got employees. Imagine employees that got sitting there. One's watching the trailer unload it. One's running the dingo. One's running the first piece of equipment that's getting loaded into. Another guy's running the piece of equipment that's taking it to the... So how many employees could be eliminated and being used somewhere else, making money somewhere else? I don't mean eliminate them as a employee, but get them off of that job and move them on to another job. So it's a lack of understanding. That's all it is.
So he's looking at, he's got a mini X, he has a mini skid, and then he has the buggy. Mm-hmm. So the buggy, you're probably, mm-hmm. what, 30?
It has to be.
And then you're another at least 40, 50 on the mini,
right?
Skid,
right?
And then mini X. I don't know. I'm not very.
I think the mini X wasn't used to move the mulch per se. I think it was just like on the site doing maybe another task. But
yeah,
just between the two pieces of equipment, he's got, I don't know, 60,000-70,000.
Yeah,
plus the two employees. Plus they're slower than dog snot, right? If you had a cart mate and a DMT rig, right, it's about the same amount of dollars in play, but then you literally can do more with one guy with, say,
more
like with like say Tom's rig, right? He could pull up. You've got a cart mate, right, Tom? You could pull the tractor off the off the platform, fill that son of a bitch up with whatever from the mulch mate, and take off at 10 to 12 miles an hour because that's what the mower can do. A mini. What is that thing called, Kyle? Muck buggy?
I think it's just a buggy. They don't really have like a
concrete buggy.
Concrete.
A lot of guys call them concrete buggies. They're slow and they're on tracks and they're going to tear up properties. Like a tractor is built to be on turf, And these guys just, I don't get it. So this guy was talking all kinds of smack about mulch meat a year or two ago. And it's like, Tom, again, what would you tell him, Tom? If he called you and be like, mulch meat's dumb, what would be your rebuttal?
I would just say he doesn't know what he's missing out on. Remember, I don't know. My answer would be stop the madness. Like, cut it out. Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just pride.
Yeah, I would just talk to him, honestly. Be like, explain to him what we did, how it helped us. It reduced labor costs. Removing, like you were just saying, how slow all that other stuff is. That all adds up at the end of the day. Well, we were only able to do 1 yard with the dump trailer and shoveling and all that other stuff. Now we can do 2 to 3 yards depending on the square footage of the yard and how big they are. But on average, we're doing 2 yards. Let's just say 2 yards. Sometimes we can do 3.
So you're between double and tripling.
Double.
Yeah, you're doubling or tripling. And you're not tired.
We've more than doubled our productivity. We've reduced our costs as far as labor extensively. And at the end of the day, I don't feel beat up. I feel good. I'm ready to just have a life. I know I'm sounding like a fanboy. I'm not a fanboy. It just makes sense. If there's a better, smarter, faster way of doing something, it's going to save you a ton of money. It's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. It's an investment in your company. It's an investment in yourself. And he just doesn't really understand what he's missing out on, unfortunately.
I mean, at the end of the day, if your numbers are saying...
Get closed-minded.
Yeah. And you know what else I think it is, honestly? I'm gonna bust myself up a little bit on this, too, because I'm sitting in a room full of toys. Boys, we're just big grown-up boys, right? And we like toys. Boys like
toys. The sandbox just gets bigger.
The sandbox gets bigger, the toys get bigger, more expensive, and it's more fun to drive around on a mini excavator and dick around with your, you know, big sandbox toys than it is to use a piece of equipment that can double or triple your business. It's not as fun to do numbers as it is to, like, right now, in our podcast studio right now, I have a set of Shelby Super Snake rims and tires I'm getting ready to get mounted. Clearly, I like toys, right? So I'm not immune to what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm some, you know, mythical unicorn child that it works and is perfect. No, I like toys just like anybody else. But when it comes to work and creating dollars, there are better ways than others, right? And that's why, like, I won't put down a product. I will say what it can and can't do and what the actual realities of them are. And most of the time, I don't think it's the people that are creating the equipment. It's the user using it not as it's intended.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Tom?
Yeah, I do. I do, absolutely.
So,
I just bought a toy. We'll call it a toy. But it's a toy for the business that's going to make us faster, more efficient, and make us more money in the long run. We bought if it's an aspect of boys and toys and want things that you can still buy a toy if you want to call the Multimate trailer a toy. Over boys, we want to play with things, and he's not seeing the aspect of wanting to be the toy. That toy is going to make him a crap load of money. There's no doubt about it. It's going to save him so much money. It's going to make him money. But what I was just getting at was, like, I like my toys too, but I'm trying to buy toys that I can have fun on and ride on and do the work on them. But that toy is going to make me money. It's going to make me better. So we bought a ride-on aerator instead of a walk-behind aerator. We still use a walk-behind one for the tight areas and doing the detail work around the house and the tight spots. But to make ourselves faster and more efficient and get off the property faster, I bought a ride-on aerator to fill in all the big areas. So I'm not going slow and walking back and forth on a 25-inch path on these massive 12,000, 15,000 square foot of grass areas, not the property side, but of the turf area. So yeah, I like my toys too, but if I'm going to buy a toy, and nothing wrong with buying toys, we have to spend the money or we can pay taxes on it. But it doesn't make sense not to buy the toy that's going to make you more money. I hope that's coming across right.
No, it does. I saw that new Skag ride on is badass. Yeah, that thing looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
It is the right color too. It's orange. That's all. How have you used it yet? Do you like it?
I've used it on our property. Next week it's going out on its maiden. Next week is when we go back to work, and we have a lot of big properties scheduled. And that's why I bought it. I'm like, man, I'm getting older. I'm not gonna lie. I'm getting older. I'm getting lazier. I just want creature comforts.
Heck yeah! And, well, you're getting smarter.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at that too. I'm like, how can I work smarter and not harder? Spend a little bit of money on that machine, but I know we're gonna make that money back so damn fast in the springtime. Getting through these properties faster, still charging the same amount of money as if we were walking behind it or riding it, it doesn't matter. So if it used to take me an hour and a half to walk a property, aerating the thing is so massive, now I can be done in maybe 20 minutes with Tracy riding the aeration machine, and I'm using the walk behind one and getting all the detail work. Because when we do top dressing, I like to get the holes punched, the core aeration done right up to the edge. You know, right into the corners where the air conditioners are, right up into the corner of a patio and a pool area. The ride-on one, you can't do that. That's great for filling in big areas, but as far as getting really detailed and really close to foundations and garden edges and all that stuff, I feel it'd be better off with the handheld walk-behind. And that walk-behind one is hydraulically driven, so I am having the creature comforts there. But I am not using one of those ones that beats you up on the that just take you for a ride. I'm not using that thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just trying to be smarter, still do a good job or do a great job, and just be more efficient.
That's awesome. I mean, the thing that frustrates me is that this industry is full of young guys that have a lot of piss and vinegar in them, and they try to you know, make up for lack of being smart with their brute force, and I'm one of them, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody kind of goes through that stage of their life,
right? So when I the reason I take the time and do these podcasts and you know, have these conversations, this is a lot of work to get all this done. I have a lot of things I've got to get done. You know, I broke my jaw in 2014, and I realized, you know, so for everybody that wants to know, I'm a big guy. I'm 270, you know, 6'3". I'm not a small guy. Tom, I don't care what Tom says, he's bigger than 6'4". He is huge. he you hold a presence. Like, you walk in a room, it's like, Jesus, that's a huge dude. And not like fat, like just tall and big and just a big person.
Tom, I look like a dwarf next to you, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Kyle's a little taller than Tracy. It's crazy. I mean,
Tracy and I have some extreme height differences there. She's 4'10", 4'11", and I'm 6'4" plus a couple.
Yeah,
right, I'm not that short.
Anybody that's like over 6'4" doesn't want to tell anybody they're over 6'4". It's so funny, these big guys and they're whatever. It's like, whatever.
I think we stopped counting it at some point in time. It's like, how tall are you? Like, I don't know.
I'm fucking tall.
I'm 5'1".
I gave up after 6'2".
At
some point in time, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". I don't know. Yeah. Now I just say I'm just 6'4". It's a nice even number.
Yeah. The only reason I say my height is just simply for the fact of, like, first off, the only reason I know is I go to a doctor and they tell me my weight and height. But the when I'm designing things, I have a very big problem, because I'll be like, oh, I can reach that, or I can do this or that. And then I'm like, yeah, you hear Kyle chuckling.
Because he literally comes to me with a tape measure and goes, reach. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah, he tries to reach. So we're building this one MulchMate container. It's a roll-off. And it is so damn big. The joystick's going to be really high. And for me, or you, Tom, no issue. I can reach it. There's no problem. Kyle, on the other hand, is about... He could probably reach 1 or 2 more inches higher. And that's it. It's all he's got. And when I'm designing things, like, say... how to open the MulchMate. I literally had this woman come here years ago, and we called her Dragon Lady because she was mean until we got to know her and she got to know us, and then we have a very good relationship, and she still uses her MulchMate today. Actually, her MulchMate rig got into a head-on or T-bone collision. The whole truck got demolished, but the MulchMate was saved, which was great. So she had to buy a new truck and have it moved over and all this and that. But she's a hard ass. and she knows how to run her business, and she makes good money doing it. But again, brute force in this industry, kind of have to have that in some circumstances. But anyway,
yeah, I think she has to have that. Yeah.
But she's Tracy's size. She's a tiny little person, right? The little bitty baby person, and she just doesn't have the strength. And she came here just simply for the sheer fact that she wanted to figure out if she could actually open and close a Mulchmate. And I'm like, come on by. So she drove 4 hours, came here, and she was able to open it and close it. And you know, early on when I was designing the hinge and I was designing the latching mechanisms and all this and that, it was, you know, to me, it was no problem. But then, you know, my 60-year-old father would walk up and he's like, dude, I just can't yank on things like you can. And I'm like, damn, he's right. Like, I've got to be mindful of that. So that's why I talk about, you know, my size. I try to give people on the internet a perspective of how big things are. That, like, when you see a Mulchmate in person, you're like, damn, it's big. Or like a DMT, you're like, Jesus, it's huge. You know, and it, just on a little phone or, you know, on your computer screen, you just can't see that size, right? And you can't see the quality. So it's just something I bring up all the time.
Yeah, but as big as it is, it's also stupid simple to use. You've made it push button this, push button that. When you got to unroll the tarp, you have that little remote control. You just have to hold a little button down.
Yep.
And it unrolls the tarp. So as massive as the trailer is, it's also incredibly user friendly.
We try.
You've covered all bases.
We are trying. A new thing that we're working on is a powered tarp for the top. We're working on a powered tarp. I'm working on a powered drop, like the platform gate. I'm working on making that hydraulically driven so it will drop on its own. What is some of the other things I'm trying to do that make things just easier? We're trying to design a different lift. It's like a hydraulic lift kit. It's going to be, it will be able to go like double the height that you see now, Tom.
Wow. I like your roll. I like all your rolling innovations that you come along with. And yeah, you know, you see something that could be improved or doesn't have to be improved, but it could be improved, and you guys just do it. It's like, I'll be the next one in line for the new DMT that comes out. That's for sure.
Well, it's, I'm working on it hardcore right now. I mean, it's forcing me to do things that I've never thought we would ever do. But the industry and the conversations and the things that, you know, I just have a lot. Yeah. The cool thing is I hold this really cool perspective because, or place, because I get the conversations like you, Tom, you and your wife are doing your thing down in Florida. You're kicking ass, taking names, making a bunch of money. And then I also deal with Brightview, right? I deal with $4.5 billion company. And then I deal with everybody in between. And I listen to every one of you. And there's always I don't take offense to anything. Like, okay, we'll talk about one of my least favorite things I ever designed for Mulchmate, but it was just my kryptonite. I couldn't figure it out. It was the shoot cover for the Mulchmate. I hated that stupid shoot cover. It drove me nuts, and I never could figure out a better way. And then last year, I finally just said, I'm done. Had enough. We're going to sit down. We're going to figure this out. And I just put everything aside and was like, okay, what can do the job? And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you could put these like swinging metal doors, or you can do this thing and you could pull it off. And so I have like some set rules. I don't like when things can be detached from, you know, something. Like, I don't want you taking a pin. Yeah. I don't want you taking a pin off of the Mulchmate or the trailer and stick it in your pocket and then doing what you have to do and then pull the pin back out of your pocket, because you never do. You forget it. And so
or
on.
It falls out.
Or it falls out, or it falls on the ground, or, you know, everything has to have a home. That's my thing. It's got to have a home. So when it comes to designing different things on the Mulchmate, like the chute cover, there's no real good places. If you put like barn doors on, like metal barn doors, they'll get ripped off. If you put something underneath of it, it's going to get ripped off. If you have to take it off, you then have nowhere to put it.
You're going to lose it.
There's too much human element to all of that. So I wanted to make it, really, I sat down, I was like, well, why don't we just make it like a jacket, right? A jacket, when you unzip a jacket, you can unzip it and put it away, and there's no like two pieces, it's one piece. And so we sat down and created this zipper system and magnets and metal poles, and we spec'd out like a round one, then it was a hexagon, then it went to square, and then we made different lengths, and now we have a nice chute that you just installed, Tom. And what do you think?
Yeah,
you like it?
It works. Oh God, that thing is freaking awesome. I send you the video?
You did.
I think I sent you a video of it. Yeah, what had happened, we overloaded that trailer again, as usual.
Shocker.
And It can handle it. Hey, yeah. If it can handle it, I'm going to do it. So, but what happened, like, we had that compost was mounded, like, peeking out of the top of the trailer. So when we went down the road, it all bounced and settled down, but it fell backwards into the multimeter machine. So the whole back of the multimeter unit was full of compost, and it's pushing against that new shoe cover that you just made. And that would have been all over the road with the old shoe cover. I mean, I would have left a trailer that sort of follows back to the house. So, yeah, it held the weight of all that compost pushing against it, which impressed me. But nothing was coming out. And I think I took a picture out, or I sent you a video. So I was like, holy crap, check this thing out. It actually worked great.
Yeah.
Because I was so impressed with it. Yeah. It was impressive. And there's a lot. I mean, that compost is wet right now, and there's a lot of weight pushing against that thing, and yeah, nothing came out. And it didn't. I mean, the zipper didn't pull apart. I mean, holy smokes.
No, you can cuss away on here. We just don't use the N word. Okay. The N word is out. We don't do that. We don't even. Nope. You can cuss away. Just no ends. So the cool thing with the chute cover when we were designing it is what a lot of people don't realize is that if you're, let's say you're a hot rodder, right, and you're going to rip it down the road, the air force that thing sees is incredible. So when you drive down the road, the amount of weight that the compost creates is definitely substantial. The air that gets packed in there is far, far, far stronger. So what we would do is we would zip it shut, go down the road as fast as any of my trucks could go, and you're bouncing, you got air. So, okay, keep in mind, Tom, this is where my head's at. This is something that nobody has ever asked me, ever. And I'm going to tell y'all, this is what I deal with. You're going down the road. Let's say your truck does 85 mile an hour. My truck tops out at 88 miles an hour right now until I get a tune and get rid of that stupid. I want to do 100 plus. So
No. We've tried that. No. It blows tires up.
So when you're, let's say for number's sake, right? Say you're doing 100 miles an hour and then you catch a headwind of 50. So now you're simulating 150 mile an hour wind, which we all know is insane, right? That's what, like, the Cartmate, that's where I learned it, was the Cartmate was going on open trailers, and it's this big sail, and you're doing 80 miles an hour, and then somebody comes around and gets a 80 mile an hour headwind or some stupid wind, you know, force, and it would break the Himes on the
especially
original.
During the summer, if you hit, like, those just random storms that are coming, uh-huh, like Duratia. Duratias are blowing up to 120 mile an hour.
A weatherman Kyle.
Hi. But, like, think about it. If you're wrapping up a job and you're like, okay, it's about to rain, I need to go home and start putting the stuff away, if you're driving through it, you're still going to hit that wind, and it's potentially much higher than you're expecting.
And what you don't realize is that when you're going down the road, you're seeing something called shock force. Shock force is when the trailer is getting yanked by a big F-350 and then you nail a pothole. That reverberates through the whole trailer. And so what that means is the mulchmate then sees these micro vibrations, really is what they are. And when it does that, it actually, the machine's actually swelling and shrinking as you're going down the road. And you're also seeing, like, think about it this way, Tom, you're down in Florida. It's hot as shit down there some days. The metals expand, right? They expand and they contract. And we have steel and we have aluminum in that mulchmate. So, and you have it then attached to a trailer, and then you have it, you know, yanked down the road, whatever you're doing. Then you're putting hot, moist compost in there. So all these metals, screws and rivets and powder coating and greases and chains and everything has to stay aligned, and you don't think about it, but the machine's actually swelling and contracting nonstop at different rates because you have different materials at different temperatures because the sun is on one side, but it's not on the other. And you have a tarp, and then you have the chute cover, and then you have air blowing on it. And so you have all these different factors that I've had to create and design and account for you just to be able to get out of your truck, walk up to it, unzip the chute cover, turn the key on, and press it, and it fills up a, you know, top dresser, an eco top dresser in 10 seconds.
Well done, sir. You did it.
That is why, like, I say that because not
mission
to...
Completed.
Mission accomplished, right? But... I am a credentials person, and when people talk shit online or they question what we do. They don't even know the when you spent your whatever $65,000 on your trailer, whatever it was that you spent on your trailer, Tom. There is so much that goes into you just choosing your options, sending us the money, and a trailer getting built and shipped to you. There is this laundry list of crap that I think about when I sleep at night to try to make sure I make your life better. And quite frankly, Tom, your mulch mate today's mulch mates, there's a big difference. They are very different. Just because we've learned, we grow, we innovate, and you know, your next mulch mate one day is going to be
a tank.
Yeah, to the moon, baby, to the moon.
So the one we have now will be the backup machine. We'll have the new one that we'll be rolling with.
Damn right.
I'm telling you, the amount of work that we have lined up, I'm scared. Like, I don't know where the hell we're going to fit all this. Like, yeah, we'll call you in springtime. We'll get you in the springtime. Don't worry about it. It's the best time to do it. Now it's just like, oh, shit, what did I do?
It's here.
You told me I could say the word. So,
well, if you want, I've got one trailer just like yours. It's black with a lift kit sitting at Belmont. It's ready to go. If you need to split, you and Tracy handle one rig and you handle the other, I got you covered, bro.
I know you do.
It's a limited time offer, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Well, Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. I've got to get going. Yeah. I've got a meeting coming up in 10 minutes, and then I have another one an hour and 15 minutes from now. And then I have another demo this afternoon. I've got a lot going on, and I still have emails, and I still have innovations and design and all kinds of crap things I got to do, plus have a personal life. So I really, really, really appreciate I can't find the words, Tom, honestly, to tell you how much I appreciate you and Tracy and everything you've done, and not just – not. I mean, seriously, I don't know what to do or say. I mean, I don't know. Send you to Bora Bora. I don't know.
Don't do anything.
Yeah.
But I want everybody to know, like, everything that we're showing off, we have paid for it. We bought it. We're not paid by you guys to talk about this stuff. We're not paid by you guys to show this on Instagram. Mm-mm. It has just changed our lives so much that it's just freaking amazing.
What's our saying, Nick? Give us 35 and we'll hand you 100.
Yeah, give me 35 grand for a mulch mate. I'll hand you 100 grand profit every year, year over year.
Oh, no. Shit, no doubt. I could back that up easily with proof.
Well, there you go. There you go. So everybody that's listening, you just heard it from the horse's mouth. I mean, he is a believer. Again, you heard the story. I talked to Tom once, and then he went through our system like it should be, because yep. We're an actual business and we actually support you. And that's another thing. Like, Tom, I feel like Dawson Manufacturing has supported you the whole way with anything and everything, right, that has come up?
Everything. You guys got an awesome team. You have surrounded yourself with the most awesome people. I got to tell you that. Because we met you at the show. Everybody was so damn nice. We were watching you guys work together, and Trace and I were commenting, like, you guys are freaking awesome.
Thank
honestly.
You. Thank you. No, but I
agree. Every time we had a problem, not even a problem, but we just wanted to talk about something, or I lost your remote controls, and you're like, okay, no problem. It's to you. You overnighted it to us, so you can just keep on rolling the next day. So I lost the push button remote control.
Yep.
And that's the support that everybody needs. I wish every company was like that, and they're not, unfortunately. But yeah, you're the product is awesome, but your support system behind it is just as good.
Well, people first, because without people, products don't move. You know, and I am. I mean, last night, Kyle, you and I was going to date night.
And yeah, you and I were a very good conversation.
We had a very heart-to-heart conversation, and you know, Kyle was incredibly receptive. I was incredibly worn out after it because I pour my heart into everything I do, whether it's our, you know, Kyle and our relationship outside of work or, you know, here. I think we try to really do a good job of blending all that. Tom, you and I, you know, we've had heart-to-heart conversations. We've, you know, in person have, you know, broke bread together, the whole nine yards. And hey, I just said it, Kyle, whole nine yards.
Got him.
Got him. That's inside joke. Kyle loves to say the whole nine yards, and my racing number is number 9. So it's always a fun thing. But for
the
everybody,
the universe really does give signs, doesn't it?
It does. Listen, the world literally will teach you what you have to do if you just sit down and listen to it and be open. And you know, there are people like you, Tom, and people like me and Kyle that are willing to help. And anybody that's listening to this, you know, I don't care what's going on, I guarantee you Tom or me or Kyle are willing to help. We're just
Look, side note, we are setting up that demo with Mark and Command.
Good.
Down in yes, that's in the works.
Great. Oh, see, I didn't know that was happening. So that's fantastic.
I know we talked about it earlier, but Mark and I have been talking. He's going to set up a location and he wants to start demoing the unit. I mean, that's what we set it up for. That's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll have to reach out to Mark. But yeah, and then the last thing, and I can't say what has happened, but I think Sunday you took some photos with a very prestigious thing. I can't say what it is, Tom, but thank you again for setting that up. It's just a lot of work, and I really hope that when all that comes to fruition here in the next 20 days, 30 days, I know I had an interview with them yesterday morning, I think. Yeah, it was yesterday morning. That went extremely well. We did a nice Zoom. We're talking two and a half somethings. For me, Tom, this is a trophy that I've worked for a long time, and it has it's going to be huge, and I can't thank you enough for, you know, I went straight to you. I didn't call anybody else. I came to you. Just your personality, your rig, the way you handle yourself. I knew you'd represent our brand correctly and well, probably even maybe better than me. So again, thank you again. And thanks for everybody tuning in, listening to, you know, Tom with Oxford Lawn down in Florida story and the Mulch Mate and all the support from everybody. It's been a game changer for sure. And, you know, I've watched products come and go in this industry, and, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, it seems like we're here to stay, baby.
We're here to stay.
So again, Tom, thank you. Tell Tracy we said hello. We love you guys.
I will, and
I really appreciate every single thing y'all do. By the way, I have a new remote control coming out for MulchMate here soon. So I will. I'd love to send that to you, and you give me your feedback on it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Give me the toys.
Great. Awesome.
I want the shiny thing.
We'll get it. It's orange, so it's the right color. All right, Tom, thanks. Have a good day. And everybody, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Life in the Fast Lane. If you would like to follow us on social media, we really appreciate it. Just Google MulchMate and find your favorite social media platform. And don't forget to visit MulchMateUSA.com. If you want to be just like Tom, here's how you do it. You go to MulchMateUSA.com. You fill out a form submission. You let us know what you're looking for, whether it's a MulchMate with a DMT trailer or a switch and go body or a hook lift or a roll off. We got you covered. The MulchMate fits every single one of them because it's the most universal fit on the planet.
And if we don't have it, Nick will figure it out.
We'll figure it out. I promise you that. So with that said, guys, just if you have any questions, hit us up at fastlane@gmail.com, and we hope you have an awesome day, and we will catch you in the next one.
All the information is in the description below.
All right, Tom, thanks, buddy. Have a good day.
Thanks. Take care, everybody.
See you, guys.
Don't miss me too much.
Multimate. Bye-bye.